Part 1, David Franklin Slater. On March 2, a civilian employee of the U.S. Air Force assigned to the U.S. Strategic Command, U.S. STRATCOM, at Offutt Air Force Base was arrested for allegedly conspiring to transmit and transmitting classified information relating to the national defense on a foreign online dating platform beginning around February 2022 until around April 2022. According to the indictment, 63-year-old David Franklin Slater of Nebraska worked in a classified space at U.S. STRATCOM and held a top-secret security clearance from around August 2021 until around April 2022, after retiring as a lieutenant colonel from the U.S. Army. It is alleged that Slater willfully, improperly, and unlawfully transmitted NDI, National Defense Information, classified as secret, which he had reason to believe could be used to the injury of the United States or to the advantage of a foreign nation on a foreign online dating platform to a person not authorized to receive such information. So according to the charging document, Slater attended U.S. STRATCOM briefings regarding Russia's war against Ukraine that were classified up to top secret sensitive compartmented information, TSSCI. Slater then transmitted classified NDI that he learned from those briefings via the foreign online dating website's messaging platform to his co-conspirator, who claimed to be a female living in Ukraine on the foreign dating website. The co-conspirator regularly asked Slater to provide her with sensitive, non-public, closely held, and classified NDI, and called Slater in their messages her, quote, secret informant love, and her, quote, secret agent. In response to these requests, Slater indeed provided classified NDI to her, including regarding military targets and Russian military capabilities relating to Russia's invasion of Ukraine. The FBI Omaha Field Office and U.S. Air Force Office of Special Investigations are investigating the case. Assistant U.S. Attorney Donald Klein for the District of Nebraska and trial attorney Emma Dinan Ellen Reeder of the National Security Division's Counterintelligence and Export Control Section are prosecuting the case. Part 2, Corbin Schultz. On March 7, Corbin Schultz, a U.S. Army soldier and intelligence analyst, was arrested at Fort Campbell, a U.S. Army installation on the Kentucky-Tennessee border, following an indictment by a federal grand jury charging him with conspiracy to obtain and disclose national defense information, exporting technical data related to defense articles without a license, conspiracy to export defense articles without a license, and bribery of a public official. The indictment alleges that from June 2022 until the time of his arrest on March 7, 2024, Schultz conspired with an individual identified as Conspirator A to disclose documents, writings, plans, maps, notes, and photographs relating to national defense, as well as information relating to national defense which Schultz had reason to believe could be used to injure the United States or used to the advantage of a foreign nation. Conspirator A recruited Schultz, who possessed a top-secret security clearance, and frequently tasked him to gather documents and sensitive U.S. military information. Specifically, Conspirator A tasked Schultz with gathering information related to a variety of U.S. military weapon systems, including classified information and information related to the United States' potential plans in the event that Taiwan came under military attack. Some of the information that Schultz provided to Conspirator A included documents related to the High Mobility Artillery Rocket System, HIMARS, information on hypersonic equipment, studies on the future development of U.S. military forces, studies on major countries such as the People's Republic of China, and summaries of military drills and operations. In exchange for the documents and information, Conspirator A made at least 14 payments to Schultz that totaled approximately $42,000. Throughout the conspiracy, Conspirator A represented to Schultz that he lived in Hong Kong and worked for a geopolitical consulting firm based overseas. During the course of the conspiracy, Schultz also sent Conspirator A 3 documents that violated the Arms Export Control Act, AECA. The 3 documents included an Air Force Tactics, Techniques, and Procedures Manual for the HH-60W helicopter, an Air Force Tactics, Techniques, and Procedures Manual for the F-22A fighter aircraft, and an Air Force Tactics, Techniques, and Procedures Manual for intercontinental ballistic missiles. The FBI and the U.S. Army Counterintelligence Command investigated the case. Assistant U.S. Attorney Josh Kurtzman for the Middle District of Tennessee and trial attorneys Adam Barry and Christopher Cook of the National Security Division's Counterintelligence and Export Control Section are prosecuting the case. Part 3. Lin Wei Ding. On March 6, Attorney General Merrick B. Garland made the announcement that a federal grand jury indicted 38-year-old Lin Wei Ding, also known as Leon Ding, charging him with 4 counts of theft of trade secrets in connection with an alleged plan to steal proprietary information related to artificial intelligence technology from Google. According to the indictment, returned on March 5 and unsealed on March 6, Ding, a national of the People's Republic of China and a resident of Newark, California, transferred sensitive Google trade secrets and other confidential information from Google's network to his personal account while secretly affiliating himself with China-based companies in the AI industry. He was arrested in the early hours of March 6 in Newark, California. According to court documents, the technology Ding allegedly stole involves the building blocks of Google's advanced supercomputing data centers, which are designed to support machine learning workloads used to train and host large AI models. According to the indictment, large AI models are AI applications capable of understanding nuanced language and generating intelligent responses to prompts, tasks, or queries. The indictment describes how Google developed both proprietary hardware and software to facilitate the machine learning process powered by its supercomputing data centers. With respect to hardware, Google uses advanced computer chips with the extraordinary processing power required to facilitate machine learning and run AI applications. With regard to software, Google deploys several layers of software, referred to in the indictment as the software platform, to orchestrate machine learning workloads efficiently. For example, one component of the software platform is the Cluster Management System, CMS, which functions as the brain of Google's supercomputing data centers. The CMS organizes, prioritizes, and assigns tasks to the hardware infrastructure, allowing the advanced chips to function efficiently when executing machine learning workloads or hosting AI applications. According to the indictment, Google hired Ding as a software engineer in 2019. Ding's responsibilities included developing the software deployed in Google's supercomputing data centers. In connection with his employment, Ding was granted access to Google's confidential information related to the hardware infrastructure, the software platform, and the AI models and applications they supported. The indictment alleges that on May 21, 2022, Ding began secretly uploading trade secrets stored in Google's network by copying the information into a personal Google Cloud account. According to the indictment, Ding continued periodic uploads until May 2, 2023, by which time Ding allegedly uploaded more than 500 unique files containing confidential information. In addition, the indictment alleges that Ding secretly affiliated himself with two China-based technology companies. According to the indictment, around June 13, 2022, Ding received several emails from the CEO of an early-stage technology company based in China, indicating that Ding had been offered the position of Chief Technology Officer. Ding allegedly traveled to China on October 29, 2022, and remained there until March 25, 2023. During that time, he participated in investor meetings to raise capital for the new company. The indictment alleges that potential investors were told that Ding was the new company CTO and that Ding owned 20% of the company stock. According to the indictment, unbeknownst to Google, by no later than May 30, 2023, Ding had founded his own technology company in the AI and machine learning industry and was acting as the company's CEO. Ding's company touted the development of a software platform designed to accelerate machine learning workloads, including training large AI models. As alleged in the indictment, Ding applied to a China-based startup incubation program and traveled to Beijing to present his company at an investor conference on November 24, 2023. As outlined in the indictment, a document related to Ding's startup company stated, quote, "We have experience with Google's 10,000 card computational power platform. We just need to replicate and upgrade it and then further develop a computational power platform suited to China's national conditions." The indictment alleges Ding's conduct violated his employment agreement and a separate code of conduct that Ding signed when he became a Google employee. Further, the indictment describes measures that Ding allegedly took to conceal his theft of the trade secrets. For example, he allegedly copied data from Google source files into the Apple Notes application on his Google-issued MacBook laptop. By converting the Apple Notes into PDF files and uploading them from the Google network into a separate account, Ding allegedly evaded detection by Google's data loss prevention systems. Likewise, the indictment describes how, in December 2023, Ding allegedly permitted another Google employee to use his Google-issued access badge to scan into the entrance of a Google building, making it appear he was working from his US Google office when, in fact, he was in China. Ding is charged with 4 counts of theft of trade secrets. If convicted, Ding faces a maximum penalty of 10 years in prison and up to a $250,000 fine for each count. A federal district court judge will determine any sentence after considering the U.S. sentencing guidelines and other statutory factors. The FBI and Commerce Department are investigating the case. The U.S. Attorney's Office for the Northern District of California and the Justice Department National Security Division's Counterintelligence and Export Control Section are prosecuting the case. Ding's indictment and arrest were coordinated through the Justice and Commerce Department's Disruptive Technology Strike Force. The Disruptive Technology Strike Force is an interagency law enforcement strike force co-led by the Departments of Justice and Commerce designed to target illicit actors, protect supply chains, and prevent critical technology from being acquired by authoritarian regimes and hostile nation states. Part 4. Samuel Bankman-Fried. On March 28, 32-year-old Samuel Bankman-Fried, also known as SBF of Stanford, California, was sentenced to 25 years in prison, 3 years of supervised release, and ordered to pay $11 billion US dollars in forfeiture for orchestrating multiple fraudulent schemes. Bankman-Fried, who was the founder of the cryptocurrency exchange FTX and the cryptocurrency trading firm Alameda Research, misappropriated billions of dollars of customer funds deposited with FTX, defrauded investors in FTX of more than $1.7 billion US dollars, and defrauded lenders to Alameda of more than $1.3 billion US dollars. Bankman-Fried was previously found guilty on 2 counts of wire fraud, 2 counts of conspiracy to commit wire fraud, 1 count of conspiracy to commit securities fraud, 1 count of conspiracy to commit commodities fraud, and 1 count of conspiracy to commit money laundering, following a 1 month trial before U.S. District Judge Lewis A. Kaplan, who imposed the sentence. According to the allegations contained in the indictment, the evidence offered at trial and matters included in public filings, Samuel Bankman-Fried was the founder and chief executive officer of FTX, an international cryptocurrency exchange. From 2019 to 2022, Bankman-Fried was the leader and mastermind of a scheme to defraud customers of FTX by misappropriating billions of dollars of those customers' funds. Bankman-Fried took FTX customer funds for his personal use to make investments and millions of dollars of political contributions to candidates from both Republican and Democrat parties, and to repay billions of dollars in loans owed by Alameda Research, a cryptocurrency trading fund that Bankman-Fried also founded. Bankman-Fried also defrauded lenders to Alameda and equity investors in FTX by providing them with false and misleading financial information that concealed his misuse of customer deposits. Samuel Bankman-Fried repeatedly told his customers, his investors, and the public that customer deposits into FTX were kept safe and were held in custody for the customers, that customer deposits were kept separate from company assets, and that FTX would not use customer deposits. He also repeatedly claimed that his trading company, Alameda, had no privileged access to FTX and did not receive special treatment from FTX. Those statements were false, and Bankman-Fried, in fact, channeled billions of dollars in customer deposits from FTX to Alameda and then used those funds to make investments for his own benefit, to make political contributions, and to spend on real estate, among other expenditures. He employed a variety of fraudulent means to perpetrate this fraud. For instance, Bankman-Fried directed co-conspirators to alter FTX's computer code to allow Alameda to withdraw effectively unlimited amounts of cryptocurrency from the exchange. Bankman-Fried also made false statements to financial institutions to conceal his misuse of customer dollar deposits. And he directed the creation of false financial statements for Alameda's lenders. He inflated FTX's revenues and profits in numbers provided to investors and backdated contracts and other documents to conceal his fraudulent conduct. Judge Kaplan authorized the government to use the funds recovered through the forfeiture process to compensate victims of Bankman-Fried's crimes. The FBI investigated the case. The Southern District of New York Securities and Commodities Fraud Task Force, with assistance from the offices, Illicit Finance and Money Laundering and Complex Frauds and Cybercrime Units, are handling the case. Assistant U.S. Attorneys Nicholas Roos, Daniel Sassoon, Samuel Raymond, Than Ren, and Danielle Kodler are prosecuting the case. Number 5. Apple Incorporated. On March 21, the Justice Department, joined by 16 other state and district attorneys general, filed a civil antitrust lawsuit against Apple for monopolizing or attempting to monopolize smartphone markets in violation of Section 2 of the Sherman Act. The complaint, filed in the U.S. District Court for the District of New Jersey, alleges that Apple illegally maintains a monopoly over smartphones by selectively imposing contractual restrictions on and withholding critical access points from developers. Apple undermines apps, products, and services that would otherwise make users less reliant on the iPhone, promote interoperability, and lower costs for consumers and developers. Apple exercises its monopoly power to extract more money from consumers, developers, content creators, artists, publishers, small businesses, and merchants, among others. Through this monopolization lawsuit, the Justice Department and state attorneys general are seeking relief to restore competition to these vital markets on behalf of the American public. As alleged in the complaint, Apple has monopoly power in the smartphone and performance smartphones markets, and it uses its control over the iPhone to engage in a broad, sustained, and illegal course of conduct. This anti-competitive behavior is designed to maintain Apple's monopoly power while extracting as much revenue as possible. The complaint alleges that Apple's anti-competitive course of conduct has taken several forms, many of which continue to evolve today, including blocking innovative super apps. Apple has disrupted the growth of apps with broad functionality that would make it easier for consumers to switch between competing smartphone platforms. Suppressing mobile cloud streaming services. Apple has blocked the development of cloud streaming apps and services that would allow consumers to enjoy high-quality video games and other cloud-based applications without having to pay for expensive smartphone hardware. Excluding cross-platform messaging apps. Apple has made the quality of cross-platform messaging worse, less innovative, and less secure for users so that its customers have to keep buying iPhones. Diminishing the functionality of non-Apple smartwatches. Apple has limited the functionality of third-party smartwatches so that users who purchase the Apple Watch face substantial out-of-pocket costs if they do not keep buying iPhones. Last but not the least, limiting third-party digital wallets. Apple has prevented third-party apps from offering tap-to-pay functionality, inhibiting the creation of cross-platform third-party digital wallets. The complaint also alleges that Apple's conduct extends beyond these examples, affecting web browsers, video communication, new subscriptions, entertainment, automotive services, advertising, location services, and more. Apple has every incentive to extend and expand its course of conduct to acquire and maintain power over next frontier devices and technologies. For over a century, the department has enforced antitrust laws against illegal monopolies, deploying the Sherman Act to unfetter markets and restore competition. As alleged in the complaint, the department is seeking equitable relief on behalf of the American public to redress Apple's long-running, pervasive, anti-competitive conduct. Apple Incorporated is a publicly traded company incorporated in California and headquartered in Cupertino, California. In fiscal year 2023, Apple generated annual net revenues of $383 billion and a net income of $97 billion. Apple's net income exceeds any other company in the Fortune 500 and the gross domestic products of more than 100 countries.